If it's Thursday, 6 p.m., that means it's time for Perspectives by John Pierce. Welcome to Perspectives by John Pierce here on WDIY 88.1 FM. This evening, our topic is going to be the Northampton County Historical and Genealogical Society. My guest is Megan Van Ravensway, who is the proud executive director thereof. Megan holds a BFA in building arts with a focus on historic preservation and a minor in architectural history from the Savannah College of Art and Design. So, Megan, does that mean you are a Southerner by birth?
I grew up in the South, but I also split time with the West Coast. So I think of myself as a citizen of the country. I've lived everywhere at this point.
Wonderful. So with 20 years of experience in the museum industry, including 10 years as an executive director, Megan has extensive experience sharing history, art, and culture with the general public through field trips, individual museum visits, and group tours. She believes in the powerful impact of tourism on local economic development and quality of life. She works daily to create and manage collaborations with local and state government, fellow nonprofits, businesses, and philanthropists to ensure everyone finds him or herself represented through tours, programs, exhibitions, and publications. You didn't put this into your biographical information, Megan, but let me just add, she gets very little sleep. She is a founding member and chair of the Lehigh Valley Passport to History Initiative, former president of the Nazareth Business Council, member of the Board of Governors for the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce, and is a founding member of Lehigh Valley 250. Now, are we calling it for next year, Lehigh Valley 250?
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Leave out the 100. Megan strongly believes that the 2026 anniversary year offers a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to amplify history through regional exhibitions, tours, and programs. Wow. We have a lot to cover, don't we, Megan?
We do.
First of all, let me congratulate whoever was in charge of calling the museum, which is on Northampton Street, the Siegel Museum, mm-hmm. and not the Museum of the Northampton County Historical and Genealogical Society. So your office is there at the Siegel Museum, mm-hmm. but you have other properties too. Mm-hmm. So what are the properties of the Historical and Genealogical Society?
Sure, and thanks for that question. The Northampton County Historical and Genealogical Society is the official historical society for the County of Northampton. That's an umbrella term over many different locations. So as you pointed out, the Siegel Museum is located in downtown Easton. That's our flagship site. That's the one that's open to the public most often. Within Siegel Museum is the Janus Moyer Library and Archives. So that's a separate facility within Siegel. And then we also have the Kressler Garden. We also have the Meixel Illich House, the Jacob Nicholas House, and the 1753 Bachman Public House. All of those are within downtown historic Easton.
And you can walk to all of those,
mm-hmm.
right? How has your vision shaped the evolution since you became the executive director?
Sure. Well, I had the privilege in 2018 to be part of a new strategic plan for NCHGS, in which we also changed our mission statement and our vision statement in 2018, right before the pandemic, of course. So I was proud to be a part of that reshaping of the organization. So our official mission is to share the stories of Northampton County's past, to encourage personal reflection, community dialogue, and an understanding of history's impact on our lives. So the word community is a huge term for me and us at the organization. We truly believe that that's what's most important at NCHGS. We really want to reflect the community back to itself. Everybody that makes up the county, we want everybody to see themselves reflected through our exhibitions, through our programming, and also through our staff and through our board of trustees. We truly want the community to be reflected at their historical society.
Right. Your exhibition Warehouse Valley, A Changing Landscape, explores the land preservation through powerful photography. What inspires you to bring this to Easton?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we think that it's vitally important that we authentically reflect the people and the activities that once were making up Northampton County and the people that are currently making up Northampton County. And you know this, John, you can't get on any social media platform and not see discussion about the warehouse proliferation taking place in the Lehigh Valley.
Absolutely.
It's all over the place, and it has been for several years. So when we were preparing a while ago for our 2025 exhibition season, I asked our curatorial team to take a look at this and what could we do to offer some part of something to the discussion. So what we did was we went out and we went through our entire museum collection and we started pulling 18th and through 19th century landscape paintings. So these are the beautiful, famous paintings from painters like Gustav Grunewald, Leuchenbach. These are our famous local painters. We pulled select images and then we hired a local photographer. He's out of Allentown. We asked him to please go out and photograph that exact same location today. So what we saw with Warehouse Valley was our famous paintings that you've seen a million times if you've come to Sigel compared to what's happening there now. And that really wasn't a great thing when we started looking at the photographs because a lot of our landscape has radically changed. Some very famous paintings are now the sites of housing developments, warehouses, highways. So it's really a difficult conversation and a difficult thing that we need to do as Lehigh Valley residents. What do we want our community to look like? What do we want our landscape to look like for generations to come?
Right.
But it was an incredibly popular exhibition. It came down in earlier in August. On August 3rd, it came down. But we're thrilled by it. It was incredibly popular. And that's just a taste for, you know, the things that inspire us to bring to exhibition to the public are the things that everybody's talking about.
Now, Megan, I'm going to ask this question. I'm imagining that most of the folks who come to the museum to see art are older generation. And so would you get a lot of negative looks and comments and thoughts about, oh, boy, I wish we could go back to the times when this picture from 1910, mm-hmm. we were still living in that era.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think our guests are very diverse. We definitely have the older guests who enjoy visiting us. We also have a lot of younger couples and younger members of the community visiting us. We have a lot of cultural tourists that visit us from New Jersey and New York and Philadelphia, you know, day trippers coming out. So indeed, I think when I overhear our older guests who have been around in the Valley for many decades, I do hear warm, nostalgic thoughts about some of our photograph collection, specifically the photograph collection.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a great idea, though, that to bring that the old paintings and of the old days, and then have the photographs of today and put them side by side. So you recently hosted a community dialogue on historic preservation with regional leaders. How do such events reinforce the museum's role beyond just displaying artifacts?
So what you're asking about is something that we call museum programming. Museum programming is the way that you can truly look at a museum and see the organization taking action, right? So these are planned activities, planned events that we use to engage our guests with our collections, with our exhibits, and with our research. These programs aim to enhance the visitor experience, deepen understanding of the museum's content, and connect with diverse audiences. So an area that we excel in at NCHGS is the community conversation. It's that dialogue piece. So our community engagement and education departments work really hard all year round to provide a variety of programs for groups, adults, kids, families. Each month we have countless offerings from anything from a free grab-and-go kit where families can duck into Sigel Museum and pick up a kit that they can complete at home, all the way through to virtual events, tours, to a full-blown panel discussion with area legislators, like you mentioned. My background, as you mentioned earlier, is in historic preservation and architectural history. So anytime the team wants to amplify architecture and historic preservation, I'm in full support, and I'll do anything I can to help them out and to arrange that program. So we were pleased to have the panel discussion. Indeed, it was area legislators, city representation, and other members of the historic preservation community. And we're committed to hosting programs like this, programs that serve as a way to amplify the importance of preserving our historic structures, art, history, and culture, and using them for educational purposes.
Yes. During the school year, do you have many school groups coming through?
We sure do, yeah, from all around the valley, and including some points in New Jersey. Do come to visit us, and we love that. We always say that a quiet museum is just sinful. We want kids running around. We want loud noises. We want, you know, the groups to be in the museum. It's a joy when they visit us.
That's terrific, because children learn so much in a museum, and many of them would not go into a museum on their own, but with the school set up, with the going in with a class and a teacher, it makes it easy for them. What initiatives have you spearheaded to improve the museum's accessibility, or did you already talk about that? Physical access, representation and displays, diverse programming, that kind of thing.
Well, one of the areas that we are working hard at, it's an obvious thing to us, of course, but we want, in order to reach the entire community, we want to be sure that the entire community can connect with us. So regardless of their financial ability or where they are in the world. So we've invested in incredible, considerable resources into our online offerings. Any of your readers can hop onto our website. There's an enormous amount of free resources for research, for genealogy, and a variety of topics. That's sigilmuseum.org. Our YouTube channel offers a variety of videos, including story time with our educator and online virtual discussions with local scholars and conversations with the curator where our team discusses objects in our collection. We also have an online platform where just for a small fee of $10 and free for members, guests wherever they are in the world can hop on and take a virtual tour of our community and Sigil Museums. And those tour topics include the early Jewish community in the Lehigh Valley and a downtown Easton walking tour. And like you mentioned, we are working really hard to ensure the exhibits reflect everyone. We have done considerable work with groups such as the Lenape community, the Black community, Jewish, Lebanese, LGBTQ+, and more groups, just to make sure everybody is represented at Sigil Museum. And we certainly are making steps currently to amplify the Latina story. We do believe that, obviously, Latinos and Latinas make up the largest immigrant group in our county. So we want to make sure that we're offering our exhibits and our programmings in English as well as Spanish. We also invested significantly in the Janus Moyer Library and Archives that I mentioned earlier. We have purchased significant scanners and technological upgrades in that space. And what that's doing is that's allowing our researchers to respond to research requests from maybe you're writing in from California and you're doing your genealogy. Well, now our researchers can scan Grandma's Bible that we might have in the collection and send it to you, which is an incredible resource. And then finally, of course, as we look ahead, we're always planning to make things as accessible as possible.
If you would hold that thought, mm-hmm. Megan, we need to take a break right now. My guest is Megan Van Ravensway, who is Executive Director of Northampton County Historical and Genealogical Society. And she has a not just a plate full, but a few plates full, as you can hear from her descriptions of all the activities going on over there in Easton. Listeners, stay tuned, and we will be back in just a moment.
WDIY presents a selection of award-winning podcasts that air weeknights from 6 to 7 p.m. Listen to important conversations regarding art, science, business, health, and more here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Check our website for new topics and archived programs. WDIY podcasts are on 88.1 FM, streaming at wdiy.org, on the app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back talking about the Northampton County Historical and Genealogical Society, with Megan Van Ravensway, who is executive director. Megan, how long have you been in that position?
I have been in the position for about 4 years. I've been with the organization for about 7.
All right. You're putting down roots. Southern gal at the beginning, and then the West Coast.
Yep.
And now Lehigh Valley.
Yes, I've officially lived in Pennsylvania longer than I've lived anywhere else. I'm a government brat, so we moved around a lot. So I'm a Pennsylvania girl now. I'm very excited.
All right. Well, way to go. Hey, I love to hear Pennsylvania and excited in the same sentence. So where did we leave off?
So we left off talking about diversity and inclusion and accessibility in the museum and at NCHGS. And as I mentioned, we're doing significant work with our Latina community, and we're working as much as possible to put offerings online, because, again, that's a nod to financial abilities and location abilities. We really want people to engage with our, especially our genealogical and research services from anywhere in the world. So we've been investing in technology, uploading, and then, of course, with the recent horrible cuts to PBS, of course, when our museum educator hops online to our YouTube channel, yes, she's getting thousands of views for her story time. Families are hungry for this content and educational resources that they can easily access with a click of a button. So we're responding to that.
Explain to us a little bit about the story time.
Sure. So our educator, her name is Beth. If you want to hop over to our YouTube channel, it's NCHGSPA. Beth is there. Her series is that she offers just a simple story time. So there's a camera set above the book for children that she picks that usually relates to the exhibits or something going on. And it's very calming. She just reads through the entire book, and she's got the most beautiful voice. And it is a fantastic thing. She talks about the museum. So to your point earlier, we want young kids to be engaged with the museum. So this is a very easy way. And truly, I think one of her videos has over 21,000 views right now. And I think it's because moms, guardians know that they can click on our videos and they can trust our content.
Yes. Do you have story time right in the museum as well?
Great question. We are partners with Cops and Kids of Easton, which is a literacy program. They take up a space in our discovery room on the second floor of Sigel Museum. They offer story times. So every single Thursday, there's a story time on the second floor of Sigel Museum, free for the public.
At what time?
At 2 o'clock. And then on Saturdays, every other Saturday, there's also a story time.
And these stories, whether they're online or whether they're in the museum itself, geared toward what ages of children?
They're a wide variety. It definitely depends on the book. I would say anywhere between 3 to 5 years old, somewhere in that range. The books will vary per book.
All right. Great programs. And let's be sure that we spell for our listeners who may not be familiar, Sigal, S-I-G-A-L. And what is the website?
We are sigalmuseum.org.
Okay. And the reason that it's called Sigal is?
Well, the Sigal family, of course. The site that we currently take up on Northampton Street in downtown Easton, we're at 324 Northampton Street, right across from the Easton Public Market. Once upon a time, it was an opera house. And then in the 1950s, the Sigal family purchased the property, and it was a department store. And then it eventually turned into Helene Sigal's bridal gown shop. So many people come into our museum remembering buying a bridesmaid dress there or their wedding gown there. And then we make everybody very happy. Helene Sigal, who we adore, she volunteers with us every Saturday. So typically Helene comes over and talks to the person. And it's a very wonderful, wonderful experience.
She's still here then and active?
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about how you've led the museum through transformative exhibits and public programming. What leadership principles guide your decision-making in balancing history, community, and funding?
Sure. So it might be a very Pollyanna optimistic vision, but I truly do believe in the idea. There's a Buddhist tenet about life is suffering. And so the way I translate that from my leadership role at the museum is to mean life is always going to be stressful. There's always going to be something difficult going on. There's always going to be a hurdle, but it's how you react to it. So of course, federal funding for the arts getting cut is really difficult. And of course, donors who are worried about the economy is really difficult for any nonprofit. Corporations are cutting back. We really are starting to feel the belts tighten up for us, unfortunately. But so I have to get up every day and decide how am I going to react to that. And I do. I have a very optimistic view of our impact in the world and mine specifically. As the ED, my words matter. My actions matter. What I do matters. So it's incredibly important for me to walk in every single day, whether I feel like it or not some days, and encourage the team to march ahead. And the team is everybody. That's our staff. That's our board of trustees. Those are our volunteers. Those are our members. We always want to ensure folks our stability. We are a place of public trust. We will always be here. We've been here for 120 years. We're not going anywhere. We will always be here for the community, no matter how difficult things might be around us. So it's a simple thing, but I really do think optimism is what I use for leadership.
So, Megan, as executive director, what percentage of your time would you say is spent in fundraising for the museum and for the Historical and Genealogical Society?
500%.
Ooh,
yes.
Sounds like a university president.
Yes. We think about a concept called time, talent, treasure. So anyone you engage with can somehow contribute to the organization. So maybe they're better suited as a volunteer and they could help us with research inquiries in the library. Talents, maybe they can't come in, but they could design a logo for us or help us on a committee. And then, of course, treasure. We are completely indebted to some amazing philanthropists in our region who have supported our organization over the decades. But we truly think that everybody can contribute. So I always say sometimes it's not fun to go to parties for me because I always slip into work. I'm always accidentally thinking about, oh, well, you could come to Sigil and do this, or, oh, what a beautiful piece of art. Maybe you should have it in our new museum store. There's so many connections that you're constantly making, but you have to be a good listener in order to constantly make those connections.
We love good listeners, don't we? So some of the toughest challenges that you've come across as executive director, we've mentioned fundraising. How about staffing? Changing public expectations? How are you navigating those things?
Sure. So indeed, everything that you just mentioned are very real and current challenges, I would say, for every single nonprofit, not just NCHGS locally, as across the world. You know, the difficulty with funding right now, staffing is always your most important resource, so you need to protect that. And of course, changing public expectations. So the federal funding for the arts that I mentioned has been very difficult, confusing, really difficult to maneuver and to navigate through. We're currently, of course, in the middle of strategizing new ways to connect with funders in a time when the economy is uncertain. We have a large slate of new offerings coming up in 2026. We had a project for the last 5 years, which was to apply for NEH funding. And it indeed has been a 5-year relationship with the National Endowment for the Humanities. Great relationship with our grant contacts there. They awarded us a planning grant, and we were just waiting to hear back about an implementation grant. And that funding would have gone towards 4 nonprofit partners here in the Lehigh Valley for Lehigh Valley 250. And that would have provided us with all the funding we needed for exhibitions and programmings and offerings. That was eliminated. So we were very disappointed by that. But we were able to make lemonade out of those lemons. We are taking that process of writing that grant for 5 years and figuring out what the collaborations were going to be, what the exhibits were going to look like. And we've taken all that language and we've packaged it out for other asks and other grants, and certainly going out to our corporate sponsors for their help. And we are beating the street and Harrisburg, we are constantly trying to get in front of our legislators to remind them that the Lehigh Valley is the third largest region in Pennsylvania, and funding certainly needs to start flowing towards Pennsylvania in terms for cultural tourism and marketing. So we're really working hard in Harrisburg. I'm so proud to share that our 11 area legislators did just recently sign a letter of support for us for the Lehigh Valley 250 offerings. They fully see that our area is completely worthy of commemorating this important anniversary, especially being so close to Philadelphia, being just an hour away. We can support Philadelphia. But we're incredibly grateful to the bipartisan 11 legislators who saw how important these exhibits and programs are.
Excellent. Well, I can see you're a committed Pennsylvanian now.
I sure am.
As you said earlier in the talk, what drew you first to museum leadership? What continues to inspire you as you go along?
Sure. So very layered question with many, many answers. My initial, I guess, exposure to museum leadership. My uncle was executive director at Winter Tour down in Delaware. So there's a long family history. He's also at Sturbridge Village in Massachusetts and the Missouri Historical Society. So he has quite the legacy, quite the career. And I was incredibly inspired by him and his works and his writings. So
that was an uncle of yours.
Mm-hmm. And that was around 11 years old when I was first exposed to what he was doing. So it's kind of interesting because I always loved the arts. But I didn't understand there was this whole other side to it. You didn't have to be an artist. There were other ways that you could relate with or connect to the arts. And then certainly I can't, you know, talk enough about my nieces and nephew. I can hear my entire staff groaning back at the museum as I say that because I bring them up often. I have a great pleasure of being very close with my nieces and nephew. They range in ages from 11 to 30 years old, and we travel often together, at least once a year. We go somewhere around the world with them, and it is fascinating because I don't have children to watch them engage with the historic sites and to watch, you know, where they're interested. Are they reading things? Do they like the technology? Do they want to do hands-on stuff? But it really is a lot of fun for me. So my staff groans because I always, after any single family trip, I come back and talk about how they engaged with the museum. But I definitely get inspired by my own experiences in museums. I had the pleasure of being in Phoenix, Arizona during high school. And I always, you know, as you do in high school, sometimes you feel a little bit different than people around you. And one of the places that I enjoyed visiting was the Phoenix Art Museum. And I loved going there after school, very quiet, and just loved to drive over by myself and go on tours. I remember we were members of the museum at that time.
Is that the Heard Museum?
No, it's the Phoenix Art Museum.
Phoenix Art Museum.
Nearby to the Heard. Mm-hmm. But I just enjoy just sitting there and looking at the art and spending time quietly, being exposed, you know, to the Frida Kahlos and all the beautiful works of art at the art museum. I always felt like I had a great place to go that wasn't home. It was somewhere else I could go to truly feel comfortable. So I think about that often, and especially as I walk through the galleries now at Sigel and I see high schoolers walking through. It's like, I know you. I was you.
Yes, indeed. Well, believe it or not, Megan, our time is up for talking about your proud executive directorship of Northampton County Historical and Genealogical Society. As our listeners can get from our interview, you are so enthusiastic and you even use the word Pollyannish, which is a great thing for a leader. So congratulations to you on these first 4 years, and we hope that you have many more at the Society.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming in. Dear listeners, thank you. And thanks to James Zibrot, who is our Director of News and Public Affairs. And he is our engineer this evening, a man of many hats. So we have heard all about great activities going on in Easton at the Historical and Genealogical Society today. Thanks so much for listening. Until we meet again, remember to be gentle with your neighbor.